Welcome to a new video about trauma and trauma healing. And we have a very special guest today. It's Debbie from Los Angeles, and she's also working as a trauma therapist. And our idea is to discuss things. And maybe you introduce yourself, and then we can share our experiences.
Sure. Yeah, I'm Debbie Murad, and I'm happy to be here. I'm just learning about honest sharing and floating, and very excited about it. And I'm from Los Angeles. Should I say more about my background, or should?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So I was sharing earlier that I am a therapist. I've been working for about 30 years. And work pretty much exclusively in trauma most of the 30 years. And in my early years, I worked in addiction, domestic violence, trauma, mental health, and was able to start a program for women and children, women struggling with domestic violence that didn't have a place to go because of their severe trauma and addiction. So regular domestic violence programs actually screened them out because they felt that their issues were actually too much to handle. Some of them were coming from prison, some of them were coming from the streets. So as you can imagine, very, very intensive traumas. And back then, there weren't any modalities. So I actually was trained. I mean, as I was developing this program, I was trained by some of the leaders of the new modalities that are now old. I do my training in trauma originally was on more of the trauma focused cognitive behavioral therapies. And since then, I've been, you know, developing my skills in other areas. Most recently, polyvagal theory is pretty popular right now, and I got some training in that and really enjoy it. These days, well, eventually I left that work after 15 years and started teaching at a grad school and working in private practice. And just recently, I left the grad school and just work in private practice. So,
okay.
So that's my story in a nutshell.
Yes, thanks. Thanks a lot. Yeah, I call myself a trauma therapist, but I'm not a PhD. I'm not a scientist. So in Germany, it's called Heilpraktiker für Psychotherapie. That's kind of alternative practitioner. So it's not part of the of the universities, let's say it like that. But nevertheless, I'm able to work. Mm-hmm. And you asked, or you approached me and mm-hmm. Asked me about floating. You downloaded the book, the floating handbook.
Yes, the floating.
As I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, both. I mean, the honest sharing book and the floating book. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just did that. Yeah. And been watching some of the videos. I mean, this has just been in the last few days, but I'm very, very interested in it and very excited about it because it sounds so effective, transformative. And it sounds like it's very quick.
Yeah, too. That's nice. It is quick. Yeah, this is one of the things I found out. That's not a matter of time. There's mm-hmm. actually nothing to do with time. Mm-hmm. Rather with we're seeing what the person is not able to communicate and help them to communicate it. So my work is, or my that what I realized is that trauma is in the end is a as it manifests today, not as a child, but as it manifests as a grown-up, is just a communication problem. And mm-hmm. due to this communication problem, we have mm-hmm. symptoms because it produces stress. It creates the manifestation again, like in childhood. But mm-hmm. if we come down to the core, we mm-hmm. see that it's just a communication problem. And mm-hmm. even we could reduce that to the core emotions of sadness and rage. So this is the summary.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, and I work, this work is done in groups. So it has the advantage that because group members work with each other, and the therapist, me, is just helping them to get in contact. So it feels there's not such a power difference if you sit alone with a big, mighty therapist in a room.
Yeah.
It's also like more, a little bit more fun, and makes it lighter.
Yeah, and that also was intriguing to me, because I think that like real trauma work does like also, well, this isn't exactly what you're saying, but I think I inferred this, but it encourages the therapist to do the work too, and not, and be on a level playing field. And it sounds like there's a lot that we get out of it too. Like when we come to this program that you have, it seems like, well, we're doing what everybody else is doing, because we have our own traumas. So so we're sharing and participating, but maybe not in floating so much, I guess.
Not in floating. Maybe I should describe the difference. Honest sharing is like self, I don't know the English word, it's self-help. It's I created honest sharing that people can work with each other without specialists and therapists. So in that way, it's also that what I have to train and I have to do, I have also to do honest sharing for my own transformation. But in floating, the therapist is really working. And it's the floating process is also based on honest sharing. Actually, we could say the therapist in floating helps two people to do honest sharing correctly. But because these people in the trauma group are traumatized, they need massive help to do that. Actually, it's very simple. They just look what they don't share and share it. Sounds easy from the approach, but to really help people to do that, it's a lot of work is necessary. And this is the floating work that helps people to be able to do honest sharing. And and it's fun in a way. It's really, I really enjoy that. It's really, you bring two people together and two people will be transformed at the same time. And the transformation is, it's really unbelievable if you see that within minutes. Sometimes it takes an hour, but sometimes it takes only just a few minutes.
It sounds amazing. It
sounds amazing.
And these transformations, I mean, they continue on through life, I guess I'm asking.
What they experience there, they can immediately implement it in their private relationships. So they get really fast, also independent from this group and from me. And it's never about the symptoms. I could work with someone or with a group without knowing anything from their past, from their problems. It's absolutely irrelevant. The only thing that I'm looking for is what happens if two people meet in the group, what happens in them, and what are they not able to share. And this is where I'm helping, and this is the whole magic.
Okay.
This is transform, this transforms all.
So do you have a lot of these groups going on?
Lots of groups physically and online. Usually they're sold out immediately. And it's really interesting also, because if people read the description, they I never expected that so much people want to do that work, because it's hard work in a way. But people want that. They read that in a group and connecting and helping, exchanging. It attracts people. I don't know why so much, but it's like that. So there must be a resonance, yeah, in
Right.
the nervous system. The description, there must be a resonance in them that they know this sounds like something that I really actually need, instead of doing therapy homework or forcing myself
Yes.
to do something different,
Yes.
which
Yes.
is abusive, by the way, yeah.
Well, it's very, very difficult too, and it's difficult to sustain. I mean, it's not most people don't want to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's important. They don't want to do that because
Yeah.
they know it's not going to work.
Right.
It's not going to work because it bypasses the internal situation. People don't want to do anything. It's not about doing. They want a connection. And this is about sharing and communicating what's there. This is something totally different. It has absolutely nothing to do with changing anything. It's not about changing anything. It's not about that. The symptom may disappear as a side effect, but if the people get in contact, then it's not even so much important if the symptom goes away or not, because they have found their source of aliveness and joy. Yeah, so it's never about the symptoms, whether before nor after the floating process.
Well, I really haven't thought of it that way before, about it being about communication. And can, I mean, of course, all trauma is relational. It's about, you know, relationships. And I know that there's a lot of healing that comes from relationships, but I never thought of it as just the communications.
Yeah, it's not so easy to understand, because what we can make an example. If a child experience a shock trauma, for example, whatever, accident, yeah, why should I, as a therapist, later, if the young boy, whatever, whoever is grown up, why should I do with this person working on the relationship level? This is the question. No, no one at the first, I would, no one would think like that. Maybe they usually, people start, you had an accident, let's do shock trauma work. But this is not the point. The point is, every experience we have has a relational context, because we have a mammal nervous system.
Yeah.
So even an accident, a car accident, is in a relational context, because we cannot exist outside of the relational context. So it's a and later on, the person has grown up, he keeps the, or we have to, we have to, or I have to explain how trauma actually can persist in the body, because the accident is over. So why are there still problems? So how do people recreate their stress and symptoms? They do that because they project the stress in the body, whether it comes from a shock trauma, whatever, doesn't matter. They project their stress onto their relationships, onto the other.
Yeah,
that's why why this work works all the time. Doesn't matter from where the stress comes, yeah, because if there's no danger on the outside and the body is in stress, it must make this coherent by projecting danger. And this is always in a relational context. Even, for example, if someone comes with a phobia, how do you call that? Fear?
Phobia? Sure.
Phobia, yeah. So I help, for example, someone fears spiders, yeah?
Right.
Then in a few minutes, we can shift that projection to the relational context, to another human. It's not about the spider. So, and then as soon as this shift has happened, we can work on the relational context, and that's it.
It sounds a lot gentler than what we usually do.
Yeah, like confrontation and things like
Yeah.
that. It's really horrible what is done to people, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have to work with people who come from the hospital, 4 weeks in
Oh.
hospital, and
Oh, yeah.
completely.
Yeah. Hospitals can be very traumatizing. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I tried to sign up for the upcoming class in March. It was sold out. But there was, I guess it's partner, projection partner. Is that a, there was an option to sign up for that? I think you're not a regular participant. Does
Yeah, there are two types of participants.
Oh.
A floating group you has a maximum of absolute maximum of about 20 participants. Usually I do about around with 14, and I estimate that one session takes about 1 hour, so I define two session tickets. So the two people who buy the session ticket definitely have their session, their floating process, and the others just watch and are participants.
Okay.
And they may be used as a projection partner.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah,
Okay.
so
Okay.
yeah. So also by just watching the process is often very transforming.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And then I heard in one of the videos, I think you said it takes 2 years to train to facilitate this.
Yeah,
Yeah.
the current training is 2 years, and
Right.
the next training, at least here for the Germans, as can start in 2024. But if there are enough English speaking interests, people who are interested in that, we could arrange something, especially if you're already have much experience. We don't need 2 years for
Oh,
that,
okay.
and we can do it online. So, for example, if 10 or 20 English speaking therapists want that, I can look if we can do something online,
Oh,
a
okay.
training.
Sure. Yeah. So I can put it out there to let people know about it. Yeah. Okay. That sounds good. Yeah, I'd be interested in that. Yeah. And I'm going to start the honest sharing training next week because I haven't even started that. So.
Even this is so amazing, you won't believe it. If you do it really correctly and precisely, it's absolutely magic. You see it, you will feel it immediately in within seconds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it reaches or it leads to like a waking up in a transcendental state, yeah, because you realize you're not this body mind system. So it's
Wow.
really, really magic, but it's important to do it correctly. If not, then it doesn't work so fast.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I was thinking about what would be the best or short way for therapists to integrate the floating perspective, at least in their work or in their already existing work, without having to do the whole training.
Oh. Oh.
And I think if you have worked so long with people and you read the book and you have the understanding, you already can implement that in your work, even without the training.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, because it's only about understanding something.
Okay. Yeah. And but it is a group model, but do you use it with couples?
Yeah, also. Yeah.
I would think that would really help couples. it's certainly a different way of communicating than what we're trained to do.
Absolutely. And it also destroys the ego of all these high decorated therapists. Yeah. If you can do that only if you have destroyed your own ego, otherwise this is not possible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because you have to lead people to a place
mm-hmm.
where there's
mm-hmm.
no ego. So how can you do that if you're mm-hmm. still have to fight against anything? Yeah. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's very exciting. I'm very excited by it.
It leads to the absolute core of the needs of our physiology.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the protecting mechanism fears that. You can work with couples, you can work with individuals who come to you, you can work with groups.
Oh, you can use it with individuals.
Also, yeah. Then you are the protection partner.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So, all right. Yeah.
To give you an idea, let's think about a client who comes to you, and that what he or she begins to tell you is like, usually one is like about one part, or how to explain that. The client always talks in strange ways about their core, about the repressed core emotions. For example, if someone has basically suppressed anger, everything that this one talks about is around this complex, yeah,
yes.
and all the projection and how he creates it, and if you know that, how to guide or how to help the client to realize that it's about the rage and to communicate it with you, we can help a client within minutes.
Yes. Okay.
And also with sadness, yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And helping from one level to the next until it's clear that it's about sadness.
Okay.
And talking always with all levels of the nervous system, that the client sees that it's safe, that you can understand all levels and all the context and how the projection works. And it goes very fast.
Okay. Yeah. And of course, I mean, I work with projection, I think we all do, but we don't go towards that step that you're describing where they projected us to communicate in a certain way. Yeah.
Yeah, I use projection in a different way. I use projection only in the sense that I say we project our repressed emotions into an idea of danger, but to the relational context and to the other. And this projection is always one of the four core defense mechanisms we know from shock trauma, from the shock trauma work. This is fighting, attacking, conflict stuff, fight, flight, freeze, and manipulation. Or what's the English term for it? I forgot it. The fourth. If you try to please someone by being nice
submission.
Yes, or... there's a word in the trauma context.
Avoidant.
A term, yeah. Okay, so it doesn't matter. It's what I mean is the fourth, which means manipulation and trying to calm down the other. So what I say is that what we expect in a relationship is always an acting in of one of these four defense mechanisms. But usually we are not fully aware of that. But in floating, we look at that and then we ask, are you now attacking me? Do you want to kill me now? Do you want to leave me now? Will you leave me now? Yes or no? And then the other says, maybe, no, I don't.
Okay.
No, I have no idea. Yeah, and then already something changes. And the craziest thing is, even if the projection is right, it doesn't matter. So if I'm projecting in the floating process, I'm projecting to someone that this one hates me and wants to kill me.
Yeah.
And this person says, actually, yes, I hate you and I would like to kill you. That doesn't matter. Because the transformation is about communication, and this state of aggression is also based on a projection of danger. So we share these projections, and then the system on both sides come down, come down and can connect. So all the defense mechanisms go to the background. And the difference is, of course, if someone really wants that, then of course I have to call the police.
Oh yeah,
that's another thing.
So so it makes sense. I think, I mean, I understand it. I know my just my mind wants to explain it too, but it seems like, because it has to be done in this calm way where we're not, we're not non-verbally aggressive. You know, we're not aggressive in our tone necessarily, but we're just stating the truth in a neutral tone. Is that, and then is it just that, that it's safe to be honest?
Yeah, it's it, this is a this is absolutely a requirement that both people don't act out and don't act in. So it's not allowed to scream, not allowed to put energy into the voice, and it's about just exchanging the state. And if someone is getting really angry, so then I stop them and say, come, please relax, and yeah, maybe some regulation with the nervous system so that he's able to just communicate the state. I feel hate, just in that way. And this is the only chance that a connection can be established, because otherwise the other part will get also in a defense reaction, and then both system get it's go away or in a confrontation.
Because usually when people are saying things like that, people get defensive, but the way you describe it, it feels healing just listening to it.
This is the honest sharing way. This is honest sharing guided by a therapist. And because whatever is inside of us, even if it's the absolute hate and wanting to destroy the other, it doesn't matter. It doesn't hurt if we communicate it without identification. If we say, for example, if I say to you, I feel hate, and my head thinks that I would like to kill you, then your system knows that I'm not identified with it. And if I'm not identified with it, I will not do it. So this gives you the security. So then you realize it's just an idea in my mind, but I'm not identified. There's no danger that I will really do it, because I can, with distance, share it with you. So there's no danger. And so that it doesn't matter what's inside of us. If we communicate in the honest sharing way, it gets all into its place and relaxed and calms down.
Awesome.
And then comes the joy.
It sounds really wonderful, because it sounds so, clients must feel like they could heal and move on very quickly, versus lingering in therapy, you know, which is stressful. I mean, it feels painful to keep it going year after year, to be honest.
Yeah, it's insane. Years of therapy,
Yeah.
it's absolutely insane. Imagine you have a broken car and had to put it every week for years into the car. I don't know the word for that. To re get it repaired, it's all crazy.
Right.
And what does the mechanics, what they do? They look at it, see the problem, fix it, and goodbye. Yeah.
Right.
The longest client I had was I worked with him for 1 year, about
Oh, okay.
one or yeah, there was another one with interruptions that was even longer than 1 year, but these were extreme, most severe
Okay.
traumatization from the point of before birth, when the
Conception, yeah.
conception, I don't know the word, before the 9 months, when the 9 months started.
Yeah, like in utero or
Yeah.
from conception on, yeah.
So continuously extreme, most
Yeah.
extreme, and yes, this takes some time. But for most people, it's just a matter of helping them to get in contact by communication.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it is. It
Yeah.
is. It's
So,
works very fast.
yeah, okay. Yeah.
Because if a client makes an experience of closeness without danger, because this is trauma, that
Yeah.
closeness is threatening or life-threatening. If the client makes an experience of more closeness without danger, then this experience is in the nervous system and it cannot go away anymore. So the nervous system, whether the client wants it or not, knows it or not, doesn't matter. The nervous system will always use that experience as an orientation. So even if it comes only for one session and he makes this experience, this light into the nervous system will guide him sooner or later out of the hell.
I feel like this is what I've been looking for, to be honest. Because like every couple of years I get trained in a new modality and feel very hopeful about it. And they're, useful. I use them, but I've never really found anything to be that efficient.
Yeah, because they all navigate around the core issue. And why do they do that? It's kind of collective blindness, and because the system that offers psychotherapy, yeah, the medical field is part of the system, and there's also a part that has no interest in healing people very fast. Yeah, it's like
Yeah, no, I agree.
there's much ego involved in it.
Well, it has to be self-sustaining.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
yeah. So.
And it's all, I mean, you imagine there's someone who has studied in Germany 5 years or what, 6 years psychology, then they need another, I don't know, 2 or 4 years for the method to learn. They have invested 10 years almost, and I don't know, 100,000 euros, and then they realize, wow, the only problem is that we are able to share the two core emotions. Then what? Then what? It's
Right. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well, there are always going to be people that need help and healing. So, I mean, that's not going to stop for a long time.
there's enough work.
More than enough work because everybody on the planet needs it.
Yeah, and the global thing is as soon as the critical mass shifts its focus to the relational level, then the whole then there's a possibility for peace on this planet. But right now people are distracted, and they are the attention is should not go to that point, because if enough people look at the relational level and start getting interested in that instead of looking news and politics bullshit, then the system collapses. So yeah, and so my work is also for helping to reach more people, to re really reach the masses, so that that the this information reaches up, yeah, more people than only clients and therapists.
No, it's really wonderful what you're doing, and you're offering it for free, and there's the self-help and then the therapeutic part. Absolutely.
Yeah, we need television. It must be in television and everywhere. This that people start talking about that, like we too. This should be in television, actually, and it's be seen by millions. This, yeah.
Someday.
Someday, yeah.
Someday. Well, thank you for sharing this. I'm very, very grateful and very excited about getting into it. So then for the floating, so I'll sign up then if it's still available for, I guess, the March training for the, I guess, the participant section is what's available. And because I feel like I'd like to do a training and read the manual before I start using it.
Yeah.
But anything else that you recommend for therapists? I mean, just
Yeah.
before using it.
Yeah. Do honest sharing as much as possible, especially with your partner.
I told him.
And
I asked him.
yeah.
Be up for that.
And yeah, also I recommend NARM from Lauren Sella. The neuroaffective relational model.
Okay. What is that again?
It's called NARM, from Lauren Sella.
Okay.
And it's called the neuroaffective relational model.
Oh, okay.
And for the work that the therapist is on this on a safe ground, I recommend the TRE training, tension and trauma releasing exercises from
Okay.
David Braselli. And this is also a requirement for my training,
Okay.
because this is the only training I know where people are trained to deal with extreme situations. This is not even done in somatic experiencing. But in
Okay.
TRE, you really learn and practically train that what to do if a client really, really gets crazy or freezes or something.
And do you have many therapists doing this in the United States yet?
Yeah, the most NARM and TRE comes from the United States, by the way.
No, I meant the floating.
Ah, the floating. No. This round now is the first training I offer, so
Oh, okay. Well, great.
but I'm of course I'm interested more in the English people, because if I reach the English people, then it will be spread more fast. So if you have clients or more therapists, I'm ready to do more groups. The only reason why there are just what is why there's just one group now is because it has all just started to spread in California. So, but if you have people who are interested, we can immediately do more groups and training, no problem.
Great. Great. Well, I'll let people know. I already talked to a friend of mine who's a therapist, she's interested. So,
Cool.
yeah.
Then, thank you for being here or
Thank you.
sharing this exchange.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's my pleasure.